like to share a message that I know is very dear to God's heart. Let's just turn in our Bibles so we can get this going. I'm just going to read two scriptures. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money, apparently. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious word. We pray it become revelation in our spirits this morning under your inspiration, Holy Spirit. We ask you to help us. We recognize you as the teacher, the one who helps us understand. Bring revelation knowledge, we pray. Open our hearts and our eyes. In the matchless name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, last week, I was talking a bit about forgiveness as being a way of letting light in to relationships. And as often happens, you realize that there was much more to be said. So I felt that this morning, I'd continue with the subject of forgiveness. And the title of this message, Dear to God's Heart, is The Art of Forgiveness. The Art of Forgiveness. Now, in the art world, you have, on the one hand, the grand masters, and then you have the masters, then you have the people that are proficient, then you have those who dabble, and those who don't even bother. All right? So you have this range, you see. Those who don't bother, those who dabble now and then, those who are quite good at it, those who are very good at it, those who are masters, and then you have, on the extreme, the grand master, whoever you want to consider a grand master. But let me just say this. It's God's heart that every single member of this church becomes a grand master at forgiveness. Amen? Let your spirit grab that. A grand master at forgiveness. Not people who don't bother about it, all right? Not people who dabble every now and then in a bit of forgiveness here and there if you feel moved. Not people that are even good at it. Not just masters at it, but grandmasters. All right? Can I just say this? If we get it right, the power of God will flow in this place, in our church. Amen? The power of God will be here if we get this one thing right. Amen? And you see, immediately we think, oh, well, now, you see, this is the danger of it. We think, oh, well, if everybody else gets it right, it'll be fine. That's a big problem with forgiveness. We're waiting for everybody else. You understand? It does not work that way. We have to start where? Yeah. All right? You see, a lot of people say, well, I'll forgive them if they do something. They sort of come and fall on their face before me and say, oh, please forgive me for all I've done. Then I'll forgive them. That's not forgiveness. Then you are involved with just dabbling in forgiveness now and then if that happens. You understand? Okay, so if that thought comes to you, oh, well, if everybody else gets it right, we'll have heaven. No, don't worry about everybody else. We must say to ourselves, I'm going to get it right. Can you all just say amen? This is so important. We're going to get it right. We get it right yourself. Don't worry about others. You get it right. I get it right. If we have that attitude, then God can pitch. Now, what I need to say about this forgiveness business is that it is a process. It's not something you just switch on and off, right? It's a process. A grand master understands the process and is prepared to work all the way through. Talking about Rembrandt, Van Rijn, Van Gogh, Michelangelo. In the art world, people that are so skilled in dealing with color and light, but they will tell you that it's a process. It doesn't happen just a day's work. You build up to it, you see. This is a process involved. But they know the process, and they go through with it. In every field, music, whatever, they know the process, you see. Developing the factory. It's a process, is it not? You don't order new equipment and they install it tomorrow. It would be very nice, but it doesn't work that way. It's a big process, a long process, and a process that over time, if you follow the correct procedure, you end up with the desired result. Now, I want us to regard forgiveness like that. Can you all say amen? We need to look at forgiveness like that. We need to know and understand the process and have the greatness of heart to be able to go through with it. And if you just follow me, you'll see how every single one of us cannot just be a dabbler, proficient, even maybe a professional. We can become a grand master. There's a key, but we're getting there. Now, the first thing I need to say about this forgiveness business is that it is a decision. All right? It starts off by you and I making that choice. Can you all just say amen? Like so many things with God, you and I have to make a choice. Based on the truth, we make a choice. You see, a lot of people say, I just can't forgive. Those people have hurt me so much, I just can't forgive. What they're saying is that they don't feel that they can forgive. You understand? They haven't got the feeling for it. They're so filled with hatred, they can't. You see? A person dear to my heart said to me, I just can't forgive. I just can't forgive. I will never forgive. Sounding almost like self-righteous because the offense was so bad it deserves not to ever be forgiven. Can you see that? And they feel like, oh, you know, I'm so special because I've got some grudge that is so bad I can't forgive and it's not right to forgive. That person has behaved so badly they need to be punished. Now you see, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is based on this principle. When you and I have been offended, hurt, when we've been treated badly, unrighteously, unjustly, however, all right? And when you and I, in the natural, have a right for revenge, which is our human nature, am I right? We want to get them back. That's how we are made, you see? But forgiveness is when you and I choose to let them go and not want to get them back. Amen? Amen. There's a releasing involved. In our heart of hearts, we set them free. We give up our right to revenge. I mean, that's all of it. We give up the right we think we have to revenge, you see. Now, I'm in a situation, and the worse we've been hurt, the greater we think we have a right. That's logic, isn't it? I mean, the man stole my pencil in my pencil case, you know, when I was trying to do my work in grade 3. As opposed to they broke into a house, shot my family. I mean, there's a big difference, is there not? And people are faced with that, you see. Now, big or small, the principles are the same. You see, and some people say, well, look, you know, it was so bad, I can't because my feelings are so raw. My feelings are so distraught. There's so much hatred in my heart for what happened to me, you see, towards those people. And we think it's justified. And maybe in a way it is justified. But you see, forgiveness goes beyond that. The God kind of forgiveness goes beyond that. Because what does it say? I forgive. I let them go. I don't demand my right for revenge. Can you see that? Now listen carefully. You and I are placed in a position where we want revenge. We want to see justice even. We want to see people punished. Okay? Forgiveness says, give up that right. Make a choice. Now you see, no matter how difficult, that choice can be made. Amen? It can be made. People say, I can't forgive. They can make a choice to forgive, can they not? Remember, once again, God never asked you and I to do something we can't do. Amen? Remember that. He will never ask you to do something you can't. Very often he might ask you something that you don't want to do. Get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, Graham, and pray. Am I capable of that? I've been getting my body out of bed for the last 40, 50, 65 years. Okay, I was a baby for two of that. So for the last, let's say, 60 years. I've been getting my body out of bed, have I not? I've been getting my body out of bed. It's possible for me to do. You understand? It's possible to do. If you're doing it on a regular basis, it's obviously possible. Now, what don't you like to do? Ha-ha, when it's cold in winter. Amen. But you see, you can make a choice. Now, this is the point. Because you don't feel like making a choice, does that mean you don't make the choice or you can't make it? You get it? Because you don't feel like making it, does that mean you can't? No. And you see, once you and I have understanding and we realize what's involved, it becomes very easy to make this choice. All right? So you see, the starting point is the choice. Now, that parable, all right, God often speaks by extension. For example, if a human father will repair his daughter's car, how far is this going to go, Ruth? 5 times, 6 times, 7 or 70 times 7? Hopefully she will have learned. But anyway, gates do jump out at you. You've got to be careful. But the point is this, that you see, no matter how many times, I've lost my train of thought. How's that? Okay, extension. By extension, if a human father will forgive, how much more will? Okay, you get it. By extension. God often speaks by extension. So the point is, you see, here we are. This whole business of forgiveness. That parable is about the man who was forgiven for this massive amount of money. And 5 minutes later, he goes out and he can't, by extension, say, well, look, you owe me such a little. I've been released of so much. Have a good day. Bless you. You understand? Couldn't do that. It wasn't in his heart. And because of that, what happened? The grace that he had just experienced, the mighty grace that he had just experienced, got cut off. Do you see that? And that's what forgiveness is about. And that's why I said last time, for me it's quite easy to forgive. Really, I'm getting much better at it. I'm not a grand master, but I'm working on it. And I know what to do. But you see, we sometimes get hurt in the ministry. Trust me, you know, I'm not saying it's the only business you do and get hurt when you do it. But sometimes, you know, people are people and they take out their frustration on you. Amen? They want to punch God, but he's not available. You understand? So they let you have it, both barrel, boom, behind your back. It's wonderful. It's quite joyful, actually, when you get to hear about it. You know, it really makes this whole thing worthwhile. But what am I saying? Must I now get all upset and offended? Before I do that, Hawkeye, stop, think. Wait, how many times have I gone to him and said, oh Lord, you know, I don't know how you're going to do this, but you know, this has been happening so many times. Can you possibly on this occasion think about it again? 80 times 7, you see. And you look at his face and what do you see? Love. You know what? He says, Graham, not important. What matters to me? Get up, get going. I need you to work for me. You understand? And the moment I realize his grace towards me, this is my point. It's so easy to say, fire away. If you've got six barrels, carry on. I don't care. You understand? It releases us to forgive. Now, have we all got that? So you see, we have to make that decision, right? But now listen to something. That decision in its own is not enough. You see, the Bible speaks about walking, right? Walking in love, walking, bearing with one another. It's like salvation. Getting saved is wonderful. Praise God, oh, my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. What has to happen the next day? You understand? You and I have got to walk in that, haven't we? We've got to walk in the fact that God's changed me. Now I've got to operate on a changed basis. Can you see that? Now you see, you and I'm talking about the scenario where somebody's hurt you terribly, maybe crashed into your son, whatever. You've got to make that choice. You have to make that choice. But it's not enough just to make the choice. We have to walk in it. Now please understand something. It's quite understandable that there will be no feelings to start off with. But this Christianity is not about feelings. Can you all say amen? If you and I are guided by our feelings, you're in for a very rocky ride and you'll end up in hell. Amen? We don't walk according to feelings, we walk according to faith. Faith based on the word of God. If God says forgive, I can forgive. I choose to forgive. I forgive. I'll just share with you an instance. In the hospital there, there's this little boy totally bashed to pieces. There's the dad. Car accident. Okay? And I just asked, you know, what happened? This is what happened. Driving home to the farm, somebody without lights, can I say from a different race group, in a somewhat broken down vehicle, right, drove into the middle of the road. T-bone. You've got it, the scenario. Okay, so now he's sitting with his son, probably paraplegic for his life. But God can intervene. So I prayed for the child, and before I went back the next day, which I used to do on a regular basis, the Holy Spirit gave me the word I had to speak to his father. I didn't feel like going to the hospital that day. You understand? I thought, I'll just give it a miss, you know. Don't mind me, Lord, I've got business. But no, the Holy Spirit, finger on the bald head of Graham, you go. By the bedside, worked up the little bit of courage I have, you see. Looked this man in the face and I said, you have to forgive. Amen? You have to forgive. Why? Well, you see, the truth of the matter is, if we want God's grace to operate here, what's got to happen? Grace has got to operate here. Do you understand? And harboring unforgiveness might make you feel good, or so you think. It's like eating a whole slab of chocolate, although it's far worse. Makes you feel good, or so you think, until a bit later. Amen? But the point is this. Here this man is, and if he doesn't overcome all the issues that you and I know in our country, wasn't prepared to overcome that and make that decision, God's hand is tied. The healing cannot flow. Do you see that? We stop grace from flowing. Right, but you've got to walk it. Now you see, the point I want to make is this, that we want to go beyond just dabbling in a bit of forgiveness now and then, making the decision here and there. We have to walk in it. What does it mean to walk in it? Some people say to me, you know, I've tried to forgive, but the unforgiveness comes back. You understand? What they're really saying is that feeling of resentment comes back. Now to walk in forgiveness, what have we got to do? Please understand this. We make the decision, yes. But expect the devil to try and get you off your decision. Amen? You know, I choose God. Does the devil say, oh, he's chosen God, I'll leave him alone? Oh, I wish that had been the case with Graham. Made my life a lot easier. The devil realized, okay, he's saved, I'll back off now. No, he didn't back off. What he did is he went out and called all his friends, the swine. We made a decision, and guess what? The devil will try and put in your mind those thoughts of revenge. He'll bring hatred back to you. What have we got to do if we want to walk in forgiveness? Continually resist them. Amen? Is that easy? This walk with God is not easy. Becoming a grand master is not easy. Can you all just say amen? That's the way. There's life. There's light, you see. And what have we got to do? Every time this thing is put in our face, we choose again. No, I've forgiven. Can you see that? I forgiven. We choose to resist. We cast that imagination down. Amen. Hope everybody's getting uncomfortable here, because this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Now, the next thing we have to do is also learn to forget. Have you ever had somebody say to you, I've forgiven them? Oh, very sanctimonious. Oh, I've forgiven them. But I will never forget. If you haven't forgotten, you haven't really forgiven. Are you hearing me? Let's look at a scripture. This might fascinate you. But if you look in Hebrews 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Listen to this. Now, we all know that God is all-knowing. I mean, his mind is so awesome. How should I say? He doesn't suffer from short-term memory loss, like some of us folk who are moving on in life. Amen? He doesn't suffer from that. But what does it say? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. How's that? Are you not grateful? I'm certainly grateful that I've got to go and chat to the Lord in the morning, you see. And I know for a fact that he's not recounting a few incidents from my past. Aren't you happy about that? In fact, the truth is, he's totally forgotten. There was a man of God who messed up royally, just about to preach. And the first thing he says, he repented before God. He said, I'm sorry I've done this, but I'm not going out to preach. And the Lord said to him, why? He said, well, you know what I've done. You know what the Lord said to him? Well, what is it that you've done? What is it that you've done? Isn't that wonderful? You see, the Lord just chooses to forget about it. And that's the way we are supposed to operate. Do you know that? Every time those thoughts come to our mind, we need to exercise forgetfulness. Can you believe it? Not in your exams, okay? That's not a thing to exercise, all right? You need to exercise remembrance, all right? But when it comes to forgiveness, and may I say this, forgiving ourselves and the things we've done, exercise what? Forgetfulness. Remember God's grace, but exercise forgetfulness. Brothers and sisters, if I have to rehearse in my little brain all the times I've messed up royally and all the terrible things I've done, embarrassing moments in my past, I would resort to becoming a gibbering idiot. I want to move on from being a gibbering idiot. You understand? So thankfully, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. He's forgotten. Why must I remember? You see, we've got to learn these things. My brothers and sisters, we've got to learn these things. We've got to have the grace to say, I have forgiven and I'm choosing not to think about it. Let me tell you something. If you choose consistently not to think about it, you know what will happen? It will fade away. Amen. Amen? It will fade away. Isn't that wonderful? God's given us the capacity to forget, thankfully. You think of people that have suffered great trauma? What's the greatest need they have? To learn to forget. Amen. I'm talking about being a artist. All right? Being a professional at forgiveness. These are the steps we have to learn. You see? Now, the other thing about this business of walking in forgiveness is to renew our minds. I mean, they're all connected, obviously. Forgetting is renewing our mind, in a sense. But you see, if you and I want to be skilled at forgiveness, it's no good just to sort of forget the incident, choose to forget it and forgive. And we have to move beyond that, you see. And here is the catch. You see, you and I might have forgiven. We might have made the decision. But every time we think of that person, you understand? We have a negative impression, let's call it that. Do you know what I'm speaking about? We have people in our lives, and when we think about them, what do we think? Does it bring joy to our heart, or do we rather not think? You understand? Now we're talking about being a forgiveness specialist, all right? You understand? What does a forgiveness specialist do? We train our mind to think good. When that person comes to our mind, we think good. And let me tell you, once again, the exercise is not that difficult if you ask the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you why? You see, people are not designed to be bad. Amen? People behave in certain ways because they have experienced circumstance. Amen? And you might be treated badly by a person, but you spend a bit of time with the Holy Spirit and He starts to show you. For example, that young man grew up without a proper father image. Amen? He didn't have the privilege of being affirmed as you were. And for that reason, in his heart, there's this need to prove himself all the time. Understand? And because he needs to prove himself all the time, sometimes he has to pull other people down. That's the nature of the beast, you see. And here you were in the firing line. So he tore you down, not because he hates you, but because there's brokenness in him. Amen? And you see, once you and I start to understand these things, it changes the way we see people. Amen? We don't see them as the devil would like us to see them, by throwing all their faults into our face. We start to see them as God sees them. And the moment you and I come to that place, that forgiveness of yours and mine moves into another realm. Yeah, amen? It's no longer just a passive how I feel about it. You see, at the end of the day, our feelings have to be put aside. Amen? And you see, if we can put our feelings aside, we can start to get into the shoes of others and understand how they feel. You see? Can I just say this? It makes forgiving much easier. Amen? It makes walking in forgiveness almost, if I can say this, a joy. I'll share a testimony. I have shared it before, but there was a church, and they had in their community, not unusual, I'm not saying we have this, but they had a man who made their lives miserable. He was a member of the church, but he just had such an aggressive personality, an abrasive personality, it was causing great ructions in the community. So the pastor and the elders sat together and they said, look, you have this problem, what are we going to do about it? Do we ask him to leave? You see, that was the decision. Anyway, one of the elders stood up and he said, gentlemen, don't worry about it. Leave it to me. I will kill him. They all got a shock, obviously. He said, no, don't worry, don't worry. But just leave it to me. I'll kill him. So I said, well, I'll give you a few months to solve our problem, but I don't know how you're going to do it. Now listen, he wasn't talking about shooting the man through the head. Not at all. What he was talking about is the personality that was causing trouble. He wanted to destroy that. Do you know what weapon he used? Love. Right? Took it upon himself, him and his wife, they took it upon themselves to express to this man and his family unconditional care, when you put it that way. They would bless them, they would do everything. It worked out such that on one occasion, this is God, by the way, this elder risked his life to save the life of this man's wife. Put his life on the line to save her life. Well, what do you think happened? That spirit of rebellion just broke, and the man just came weeping, apologized, repented, and became a strong member of the fellowship. Isn't that a beautiful story? Can you see? Let me just share with you another story. There was occasion still happening. I think now that they've taken over, they don't have to bother doing it. The Muslims had jihadis that wanted to destroy America, obviously. So they used to send these terrorists over to America to operate undercover. You know, the Twin Towers, that's what it was about. But they go there on student grants. Can you believe it? The Americans are trying to help them, but they're there to destroy them. Anyway, this one jihadi pitches up in America and he's boarding with people while he's studying, you see. In the meantime, planning to do a big terrorist attack or whatever. But this was a Christian family. This is a true story. And being Christians, they just showed this man such love. They gave him stuff that he needed when he was ill. They looked after him. You know what happened? He eventually came to a place, he was so convicted, where he thought to himself, how can I possibly harm the people that have done me so much good? You understand? Although it's not to do with forgiveness, the principle is the same. He got saved and he was prevented from destroying not only his life, but a lot of people's lives. You see, what does the Lord say? Let's just look at it. Okay, it speaks about praying for your enemy. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 20. Take it from verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do you see that? Don't avenge yourself. Don't make it your business to pay people back. All right? But rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Please understand something. If there's punishment needed, leave it to God. Amen? Leave it to God. He'll do it. He'll do it. You don't have to. You and I don't have to. In fact, if you and I insist on doing it, God can't do it. We have to step back. All right? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. All right? For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, it is debatable what heaping coals of fire on his head is. Some say it's in a cold environment, they put warm coals just to keep a person warm. In other words, bless him. Others think that when you put those coals, you convict him. You make him convicted to this, his heart. He wants to do you harm, but you just keep doing him good. Like that elder did. All right? You see, God wants us to operate, as is often said, in the opposite spirit. We're talking now about being professional at forgiveness. Are you hearing me? Professionals at it. Experts at it. You see? What do? We're not happy just to forgive them, sort of half-heartedly. We make a point. I've forgiven them. That's it. But we carry that forgiveness into our daily thought life and our daily walk. Amen? And you see, what do? We choose every time we think of them to think well of them. And you start praying for your enemies and God starts to show you things. And can I just say, there's a little technique which ties up with all of this. If you and I are really battling, you just battle to forgive this person for whatever reason, and it does happen, ask God to show you some positive thing you can actually go and do. Amen? You actually go and do. You don't just work on your own. You take this thing out into the open. You see? And you go to that person, and they might not even be aware of your problem, but you say, listen, let's go and have a meal together. And you buy them a meal, and you say, you're a special brother to me. You see, what are you doing? Doing something practical to break this thing in your own heart. Amen? I'm not saying you have to do it all the time. I'm not saying that, you know, you have to do something. But there might come a time, ask God for wisdom. We're talking about being professionals. This is one of the techniques that professionals use when they want to really operate in forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, we talked about being a master at forgiveness. Let's talk about being the grand master. And to learn about being a grand master at being a forgiver, let's go to the grand master himself. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles. I'm almost finished here. Luke 23. We're going to look at the Grand Master's masterpiece. Amen? Do you understand? We're going to look at the Grand Master of forgiveness so that we can learn from him. You see? And what we want is his technique to rub off onto us. We want to see the DNA and absorb it for ourselves. It's almost like somebody wants to be a great painter. They go and look at the masters. I want to improve my music. Who do I listen to? Occasionally, Beethoven, Bach, Brahms. I love it. They have an ability, you see, that I need to aspire to. So with that in mind, let's go to the scripture, which we all know so very well, but I'm trusting will be more of a revelation to us this morning. Luke 23:32. There were also two others, criminals. Okay, he's gone through this whole passion. He's on the cross now, suffering, terrible pain, etc. He's gasping for breath. Every time he's got to breathe, there's absolute agony racking through his body. That's how this particular process of death was designed. Okay, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals put on the right hand, the other on the left. Now, here's the grand masterpiece. Okay? Just see the picture. The man is on the cross, suffering unbearable agony. If you think you've been offended and I've been offended, wait till you understand this. Okay? Was he deserving of what happened up there? No. Had he harmed any one of those people that were baying for his blood? No. Many of them he'd probably healed. Just think about this. There might be people that were blind who he restored sight to are looking at him now, baying for his blood. Is that an offense? Or is that an offense? There might have been people there who he had restored their ability to speak, shouting, crucify him, with the very tongue that he had healed. Just think about it. I don't know about you, but I can tell you one thing. Dear old Graham, God forbid, if he found himself in that position, would be considering, you see, what the Bible describes as calling down a few legions of angels. And not to bless the folk either, by the way. You understand? Judgment. Burn them up. They deserve it. Did they deserve it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want us to grasp this masterpiece of forgiveness, the grand master at work. All right? What is he doing? Why are they doing this? Listen to this. Father, forgive them. My soul. In other words, I've forgiven them. Can you find it in your heart to forgive them? They don't have a clue what they're doing. You see, he understood their predicament, their condition. Aren't you glad? Oh, my soul. Now, let's talk about this masterpiece. All right? Just let's take it one step further. What is he actually doing? Please, let us just grip our spirits. Here he is being brutally tortured, agony inexplicable. And these folk, kind folk, are saying, wonderful, we're enjoying the movie. Crucify him. Hallelujah. You healed others, heal yourself, big boy. But what is he doing? Why are they doing that? Do you know what he's doing? He's busy dying so that they can experience life. You see it? He's operating in love. He's operating in love. And you see, that love created this grand masterpiece for you and I. If we want to be specialists at forgiveness, if we want to become grandmasters at forgiveness, to look at, amen, and allow that wonderful experience, as terrible as it was, to imprint itself in our spirit. Amen. Now, fortunately, you and I will not be asked to go to the cross. Amen. The world, for your information, has already been saved. Aren't you glad? That place has been taken, so don't worry. You and I don't have to do it. But let me tell you, in practical terms, how you and I can replicate that great masterpiece. You might find yourself, and I believe it's going to get worse, because of what we believe and how we're supposed to operate, people are going to love us less. Amen. Some of you have probably experienced it already. Family, etc., going, me. What I'm saying is, we become more and more difficult in the eyes of others. You understand? Now, what do? When people say bad things about us, behind our back in the office, and we get to hear about it. Guess what? You and I are being set up to paint this grand masterpiece. How do you do it? Let me tell you how you do it. At midnight, early in the morning, whenever. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to know. You are before Almighty God. Amen. And your prayer runs something along these lines. Lord, what they're doing is not very pleasant, but it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that they don't know you. And I'm just asking you, for your great grace, to have mercy on them, to show yourself to them. Amen? Amen? While you and I are, listen to this, while you and I are praying prayers like that, nobody knows, nobody will ever know until one day, of course. You know what you and I are doing? We are painting this great, great masterpiece. Let me tell you, the day will come when that great masterpiece will be hung in the halls of heaven for all of humanity to see right through to eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.